찾아주고 faith commanded and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to a hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus has overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the storm was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, it shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable.
We have to stop. Something's wrong. I'm so sorry. It's just totally switched. Heavenly Father, you know what? You're not a God of chaos. Not at all. And so, Father, these things happen and we don't even have an explanation. But we know, Father, you are sovereign. You reign over us today. And it is your word that is going to be proclaimed, Father, and your worship. And so we just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to a hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus has overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the storm was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Thank you.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Your sons are God unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do, yeah. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do, yeah. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God reigns. Hallelujah, God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
Let's pray it over our families this morning.
Hallelujah, our God reigns.
Pray it over our nation.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
We pray it over our families.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah.
God, today we humbly come before you. And Father, we admit that in and of ourselves, we fall miserably short of the standard. But God, we take great hope and comfort and peace today in the fact that you bring us to a point of enough. Father, this morning, our emotions and our thoughts, they are pulled so many different directions, Lord, and I pray that in a way that only your divine power can do, I pray, God, that you would allow each and every one of us to focus in on you in this moment, Lord. Not on what the news is going to say, not on what this person's going to feel, not on what decision needs to be made. Lord, help us become centered on you, on your word, and on the truth. God, I pray that your truth would just permeate our beings, God. Father, I pray that our understanding and our digestion of the truth would then alter everything else we see, everything else we hear, everything else we experience. Lord, what is told to us, what is instructed for us, Lord, all of that would be filtered through our own personal encounter, our own personal understanding and knowledge and experience of a living God in our lives. God, even praying that today seems huge. God, we trust that you can do it. And so, Lord, we bring our fragile, we bring our unsettled, we bring our broken, our frazzled. Lord, we bring it all to you, God, and we ask you, Father, to put it together, stand it up, strengthen it, enable it for us to be a witness in our communities, our families. Help us to remain close to Jesus in these days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, apologize for that technical, that's beyond my pay grade. I'm not even sure what's happening. So they gave me this microphone, so I'm going to preach from here. And so we're going to catch those announcements at the end of the service, but I want us to dive right into the Word. And I just, as I pray that you are sensing what I'm sensing, that to dive into the Word is where we need to be today. And so today we want to begin our time together in the Old Testament, because to have an understanding of the context, to have the background story to where we're ultimately going today is really going to allow us to get the full extent, the full power of what Jesus says to us today. And so we need to begin in Jeremiah chapter 2 and then jumping over to Isaiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 2:21 says this, I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? That's God talking about his chosen people, Israel. In Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet says this, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow up there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. And why that's important, that we start there, is we need to understand that God's design was that as he chose these people, the Israelites, that they would be the vine. They would be the ones that through which God would be able to accomplish his work in the world, his fruit in the world. And it, as we see in these two passages, that the vine, the original vine, Israel, failed miserably. They stumbled and they struggled and they had evidence in decline of decay. But God still cared for them. He pruned them. He trimmed them. He had an eye towards expansion and health. But they failed to accomplish being God's fruit. And thus they forfeited some of God's blessing and privileges and experienced God's judgment instead of his blessing. They were not living as they had been designed. And so as we enter into the New Testament, we see Jesus enters in and he wants to talk about the who. When so many other people are trying to desire the what and the how this is all going to work, Jesus again for the seventh time wants to share with us the who of God. And so if you turn with me, we're going to be in John chapter 15. John 15, where Jesus shares his last of seven I am statements. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, and if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So the first five I am statements were said prior to Jesus coming to the Last Supper, having the Passover meal prior to being arrested in his death. And so we see the first five. And then last week we looked at the way, the truth, and life. And those are words that Jesus said to his disciples during that Passover Last Supper. And so now we find this seventh I am statement somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is going to pray this high priestly prayer. He's going to pray this honest, gut-wrenching prayer to his Father and then be arrested, and then the trial begins. But just prior, somewhere between the Last Supper and the betrayal of Judas and that time when he would be in that garden, he's walking with his disciples, and they must have come across a great vineyard. And he picks a grape, and he begins to share this parable. Now, a parable is not necessarily a point-by-point story that you can pull insights from. It's really a story that has one major point. And I believe that the story I just read to you out of John 15 has one major story and major point. And that's, are we a people of vitality, or are we just a people? That when we think about what God wants to grow up in us, does he want to produce something, or does he simply just want to present and show something of us? Are we trying to grow flowers, or are we trying to grow fruit in our life? The idea is vitality, to be strong and active and alive and functioning as we were designed. That's Jesus' hope for all of us. And so as he begins this parable, he says, listen, there are three kind of characters in there. There is the vine, which is the source, which is Jesus. And there's the gardener and the caretaker, which is the Father. And then there are branches, which are the producers of the fruit according to their design. Now this caretaker is one who has a relationship with the vine and the branches. He has a great knowledge of the vine and the branches. And he, as the caretaker, is busy and active and faithful in caring for both the vine and the branches. And he says in the first couple of verses here that he refuses to allow non-functioning branches to affect the functioning branches. He says, we're going to cut those things off. And to the ones that are functioning, the ones that are being fruitful, we're going to prune them so that they can be higher functioning. I want to point out at this point that when we talk about things being cut off and things being pruned back, we are not in any way, I don't believe, talking about sonship. We're not talking about salvation here, whether or not you're cut off from the kingdom or you're in the kingdom. It's like in the box or outside the box. I believe what we're talking about here is fellowship, not sonship. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about being in relationship, in fellowship, in being in unity with the Father. And so what the caretaker, the Father, is saying in this parable is that he desires to remove the dead in our life, those things that harbor disease and promote decay. He desires to cut back to ensure in our life that our vine, is divine power, is going to the fruit and not to the long, heavy wood. He's saying in us that whatever is consuming life but not producing fruits must go. And maybe you and I would hear it more as discipline. That pruning in the agricultural world is like pruning, or like discipline in our world. That discipline is not punishment. It's an activity that's promoting greater fruitfulness and create greater and fuller capacity. But when your mother or father, they want to teach you a lesson, they want you to grow up to be better than you are right now, better than the present choice or better than the present decision. They say they apply discipline in order that there can be greater capacity, greater strength, greater fruitfulness in the future. And so if you're in a season, you believe, of discipline and pruning, I want you to know that the gardener, the caretaker, is never more close to us than when he's pruning us. I read a story recently, Bruce Wilkerson, in a book called Secrets of the Vine. He describes a neighbor of his that had a grapevine, he and his family had experienced and enjoyed this grapevine so many times, these beautiful, luscious grapes. And one day he heard his neighbor hacking on the grapevine. And he walked over to the neighbor and kind of curious and said, "Well, you must not like grapes since you're being so aggressive with the vine." And the man responded back, "We can either grow beautiful leaves filling up the whole fence, or we can have the biggest, juiciest, sweetest grapes. We just can't have both." You can't have all of these unproductive, beautiful, green leaves if you truly want grapes. And so something has to go. And I believe that that's in essence the beginning of the lesson in this story. That if we truly want to be who God has designed us to be, we need to submit to the caretaker. We need to submit to the pruning and the cutting in our life. Jesus seems to allude that in verse 3 that this pruning comes by the word. That sometimes the word of God is a mirror. It shows us the error of our way and where we need to prune. Or maybe sometimes it's like a knife and it's desiring to cut something out of our life that's unhealthy. And just like when we are in physical surgery, we need to be still before the physician. The activity of the physician in our life is bringing healing and is bringing life to the exact area where we sense the most pain and pruning. And so if we truly desire to have vitality, if we truly desire to live as God designed us, we not only need to submit to the caretaker, to the great physician, allowing him to cut and prune as he chooses, but we also need to remain in the vine. And that's really what stands out most in this passage, is that we need to remain, to abide, to have this living union between the vine and us, the branches. That's what brings vitality, that when we remain in the vine, that's where the nourishment, that's where the support, that's where the strength comes. The branch's ability to produce is correlated with its relationship to the vine. So that what our relationship is with the Father, what our relationship is with the Son, will be a direct correlation to what we produce in our life, what comes of us. It's interesting, in the time that we've been looking at these I am statements, a couple weeks ago we looked at this idea of a sheep and a shepherd, that we would follow the shepherd. It appears to me, not to minimize that, but it appears to me that Jesus is calling us to the highest level of unity, not simply to follow him, not just to learn from him, not just to believe in him, but this higher unity, to abide, to remain, to stay connected to. He goes as far as to say that if you stay connected, then fruit will come. If you are not connected, fruit will not come. So what does it mean to abide? To abide in Jesus, to abide in the vine, is to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, to receive Jesus Christ as our rescuer and our leader, to do what Jesus Christ modeled for us and to love others as Jesus. Abiding, connected, remaining is the most intimate bond Jesus asks of us. I mean, it's the image of baptism, is it not? To abide, to be in Him, is to be with Him at the cross, to be with Him in the grave, to be with Him at resurrection. That's what baptism is. To die to ourselves. To be raised to life with Jesus. So you say, well, Pastor, I understand what abiding is, but what is the fruit that is being asked of me? What will be produced if I remain in Jesus? What will be produced? And I believe it's found in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love that says that Jesus shows through us. When we love, when we have the fruit of the Spirit of love, Jesus shows through its joy that our heart smiles. It's not just our face muscles smiling, but when we have joy, our heart smiles. It's peace. It's contentment. That's what peace is. It's contentment. It's patience, knowing that God's best is coming. It's kindness. Even those who bend us the wrong way, we can love. Goodness, wanting the highest good for everyone. Faithfulness, trusted in word and deed. Gentleness, picking up a small baby. And self-control, being able to say no to me. Saying no to self. That's what is produced in us. That's the grapes at the end of the branches. When we abide in Christ, when we submit to the caretaker, what is produced in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not something that we have to force. It's something that naturally living active according to our capacity and our design that will be developed in us. And so I challenge you to think about each of those fruits and how God, the caretaker, and how the vine, the supplier, and the source desire to see those things developed in you and upon you. And in verse 6 of our passage, we see very clearly that disconnection, that when we're not in right relationship with the vine, there is a disconnection that leads to discarding, decomposition, and disposal. That if there's no nourishment going to the branches, there's no fulfillment on the branches, and so there's no use for the branches. When we are not rightly related to the vine and to the caretaker, we are then like a free agent to the world, wooed by any and all offers. Accept that true offer, that life-giving offer. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test. And so we all need to understand that we are being evaluated. What is our fruit? We cannot underestimate the implication of staying close to Jesus. In the remaining of the verses 7 through 11, we see Jesus explaining this abiding life. He says in verses 7 and 8 that you can have unhindered prayer. That we can have access to the Father through word and through prayer. That we can embrace the vine and we can receive revelation from the vine by simply abiding with Him. That when we abide in the vine, we stay close to Jesus. not only can we have unhindered prayer, but we will have unending love. We will bring glory to the Father because it was the God's design for us to be in the vine. And so when we remain in the vine, the Father is pleased. And we follow Him. It was the Son's model to obey the Father, and we are being told to obey the Son. And as we obey the Son, as He was obeying the Father, not only is an unhindered prayer an unending love, what ends up happening is uncommon joy. Isn't that what we all desire? A type of joy that can stand against the rolling waves of circumstances. A type of joy that is a settled assurance and a confidence that ignites our hearts to serve God. One of the issues that we have with prayer and with love and even with joy is that it requires a response if it's going to grow. Love only goes so far without a response. When there is a little response to the love that is being showed, a little bit more love can be extended. When there's no response, that love, that joy, that access remains unrealized and underutilized in our life. There's so much in a relationship with Jesus. There's so much strength and resource and support in the vine. But as branches, if we do not remain in that vine, if we do not stay close to Jesus, we do not have the proper connection. So friends, church, as we bring this in for a landing, I want us to truly and honestly evaluate. Do we sense that unity with Jesus today? Do we sense that power that is available in Jesus today? Do we feel adequate today? Do we sense that we are making the Father happy? Do we have that deep experience of love? Because all of those things are that which is promised when we are connected to the vine. And so we conclude by asking, what is your vine? Because what's a real possibility and probably a reality for some of us is that we have different vines than the one true vine. We have our source and our identity and our strength and our support coming from the numbers on the weekly or monthly bank statement. The pieces of paper that we have framed on our wall that we call degrees. That could be our vine. I can look up there and say, I'm important because there's multiple pieces of paper on the wall. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's popularity or skills or whether or not a service goes well or not. Do I judge myself on how well I think today went, saying something about who I am in relation to the vine? Maybe it's even our church or a system of religion, a type of worship, a name on the front of the church, a tradition. Jesus says that none of that should be what gives us our strength and our support, our identity. He clearly says in John chapter 15, 1 through 11, I am the true vine. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are for you today. These are what you have been designed to have developed in your life. This is your capacity. Father, today we pray in Jesus' name that you would draw each of us a bit closer to yourself today. Father, through your word, I pray that each one of us recognizes what our capacity is, recognizes what our design is, that we were created to be the image of God. Not like the image of God. Not even in the image of God. We were created to be the image of God. And so God, as the image of you, we desire to have characteristics that are you. And so, God, today I pray first and foremost, Lord, that each one of us would be connected to the vine. Those of us, Lord, who have made a decision to follow you, we have made a decision to be connected with you. Lord, I pray that we would just lean in and strengthen up, have a greater concentration of abiding today. Make a decision and a commitment to abide more closely. Father, for those who have not yet or ever made a decision to be connected to Jesus, Lord, I pray today that we would recognize that we have something in our life that has caused us to be disconnected with no possibility of ever being connected again, and it's called sin. And so, Lord, we need to recognize that we have sin in our life. We have things that have caused us to be disconnected, and Father, today we confess those in Jesus' name. We say we're sorry, Lord, for the things in our life that have caused us disconnection from you. Thank you for dying on the cross, and through Jesus' death, we have forgiveness and reconnection. Through the love of Jesus Christ, that which is disconnected and on its way to decay and discarding can be reconnected, can be connected to its original vine. And I pray, God, that there might be one person somewhere around the country today that is listening to this message, listening to these words of truth today, and they say, yes, that's me. I want to be connected to the vine. I want to have the love and the strength and the support and the power that comes by being in the vine, by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today, I pray, Father, help that person today. Help them realize that you are simply a prayer away, an opening away, that you will rush in and be near them, God. You'll connect them to your power through a simple decision. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power that is available. Thank you for the design of who we are. I pray that families gather together in living rooms and kitchens all over this area, Lord. We will recommit to abiding in the vine. Abiding in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being available and supplying freedom and forgiveness and fullness of life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I want to end our time just real quick by reviewing the announcements that you couldn't hear at the beginning. Well, we are super excited about next Sunday. We have a special Mother's Day service that will be held in our parking lot. So if you're in the general area of Loyal Sock and Williamsport, we invite you next Sunday, same time, 10 a.m., in our parking lot. We're going to have church in the parking lot. And so there is parking spaces out there. There's probably 60 or 65 parking spaces out there. We would invite you to come. We're going to ask you to remain in your car. We're going to give you some things, and there'll be activities for the kids. So don't hesitate to bring the kids and think they're going to be crawling all over the place. We're going to have activities for them to minister to them during the service. But a worship team, myself, will be outside, and it'll be an outdoor service, and it's going to be broadcast over 104.1 local radio station here, and so we're excited about that. So it's just a way of intermediate gathering, to gather together, and maybe not specifically how we want exactly, but we'll be able to be together. So next Sunday, we will be live streaming Facebook Live, but we also will have a gathering out in the parking lot. Secondly, we want you to know that there is continued giving. There's three ways you can give. You can go ahead and pick up an envelope and mail it to us, 1680 4 Mile, or you can go to our website, mynorthway.church, and there's a big give button on our homepage, or you can text to give, 570-919-1680, and it'll give you some brief instructions on how to continue to give. And you all have been super, super faithful with that. We're going to continue our gatherings with Pastor Bryce this week. Monday is a prayer meeting. Wednesdays are Joshua Bible study that we'll be concluding. And then lastly, if you're with us, we would love to know who's worshiping with us. And so in the comments, there is going to be a connection card you can fill out on our website. There's a way that you can connect with us. We want to know who's with us, even though we can't see you. And so God bless you. We're glad to be able to worship and dig into God's word together. And we look forward to being able to share maybe next week a new announcement on future plans of gatherings in 25s. But we're working on what that would safely and responsibly look like in the coming weeks. So thank you. Continue to hang in there with us. And we appreciate you.